It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today on a Monday. We are 2 days out from Texans training camp. Rookies and everybody else, they all report tomorrow. Some places have the rookies report a little bit earlier. It looks like the Texans have everybody reporting tomorrow and then practice. They'll get on the grass on Wednesday morning, and then we're off and running for what should be a fun training camp. Spending a week in West Virginia. I'll be up there covering the team that week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Gonna have a good time, man.
The weather will be a little bit more accommodating up there, I would think.
First time back there since 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2018. They did the 2017 and 2018, they did practically the full training camp there. At least they did the first three weeks there. So not the full training camp's like 6 weeks. But the first 3 weeks were up there. This is just a week. This feels like just a week to get into the cooler weather, you know, get sequestered away from humanity.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
bonding,
it.
Bonding, a little bonding going on, you know. Yeah. Play video games together in your room at the Greenbrier. Play a little blackjack.
Yeah, man.
Down at the casino.
It feels so. I haven't been there. Of course, I know pretty much all of you who have. But it feels like, from observing it and hearing about it, like a real serene type of environment.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. The practice environment is beautiful. The town is nice. It's pretty country up there. If you are a Texans fan, I've said this before about the Greenbrier, and I don't know if it's structured similarly to how it was in 2017 and 2018. That's all I can say is from my experience, if you're a fan that goes to the practices at the Greenbrier, I don't know if they're allowing that this year or not, but they did in 2017 and 2018. The access is unprecedented, you know, compared to a regular training camp practice here. You know, you're competing with hundreds and hundreds of other people to try to get autographs and get the attention of players and things like that. Not nearly as crowded.
Yeah.
Now you got to get to the middle of nowhere in West Virginia to do it, and that costs money. I get that. But I'm just telling you, once you're up there, it's incredible.
Yeah, if you like your alone time with your football, then you got to pay a little bit extra for it. So that's,
you got to drive too. There's nowhere. The closest airports, major airports, are Charlotte and Pittsburgh, and it's a 4-hour drive from each of those.
Goodness,
it's right in between. It is equidistant right in between Pittsburgh and Charlotte, North Carolina.
4 hours I can do. I've set my, you know, I'm not an old man yet, but I've already set my limit of how many hours I'm willing to drive in a trip at five.
Yeah.
If it's longer than five, I'm flying or I'm not going.
It's a pretty drive. I will say I'm flying into Charlotte. I've done that drive. That's where when I went up there, when Ted Johnson and I went up there for training camp, that's the drive we had. So it's nice. But you know that a place is in the middle of nowhere if the only way you can get, like, the closest place to fly into on either side is Pittsburgh on one side and Charlotte, North Carolina, yeah, on the other.
Yeah.
Because those are two very different places.
Not exactly close.
Yeah. They are not close geographically, and they don't feel like they're close
in any sense.
Culturally. No. Yeah. Linguistically. No. Anything. Yeah. No. So there you go. So
they both have NFL teams. That's about as close as it gets.
They both have NFL teams. So the NFL.com did its all breakout, 22 players on its all breakout team for the NFL this year.
I'm intrigued.
Which, for a team, you know, we root for the Texans. who have a lot of good young players on the team. A lot of players who, you know, would be in this age category of breaking out. You know, a lot of these. Exactly. Exactly, Peter Schrager. They are. They still are.
I concur.
They still are. I think by average age, they're one of the oldest teams in the league because their old guys are old.
Yeah.
That D-line, you know, and now the O-line, some of the guys, that brings the, and Danielle Hunter, guys like that, brings the number up a little
bit. But they're top heavy on young talent.
Their core is very young.
Yeah. Their core and they're really good. A lot of their really good players are very young.
So I'm not going to go through this whole, they did like a offense and defense, you know, all 22 breakout players. And I don't have heavy debate on any of these. I think of the players that would fit this category on the Texans age-wise, this is mostly guys, there's really no rookies on this team. And my definition of breakout means you have to have already played in the NFL at some point.
Yeah, fair enough.
You have to have something to break out from. Not everybody defines it that way. This particular one, it is all second and third year guys. So I got excited just seeing the age of the players. I'm like, the Texans for sure. We have great second and third year guys.
Yeah.
And you know, the quarterback is Michael Penix Jr., right?
I like that pick.
I do too. I'm cool with Michael Penix Jr. Over on the defensive side of the football, because I'm thinking of positions where the Texans might have players that would fit this, right? Mm-hmm. Lucas Van Ness is the defensive end to go along with Leatu of Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, neither guy's made a huge impact yet. Breakout, by definition, means you are breaking out from being just sort of in the pack with everybody else.
Right, from just being another guy.
Exactly. So I look at the secondary, you know, where we've got young guys there. Terrion Arnold, second-year guy. Nate Wiggins, second-year guy. Tarib Still of the Chargers, he's 23 years old. And then I look at safety, Cole Bishop of the Bills, Tyke Smith of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, man, are the Texans getting disrespected here because none of their second and third year guys are on this list? And then I'm thinking to myself, no, they're not on here because they broke out already.
Yeah.
That's
one way to look at it.
C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, they broke out already. But Will Anderson, same draft class as Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah.
I remember this because I saw when they were still sitting there at 12 in the draft before they traded up for Will Anderson, I remember seeing Lucas Van Ness getting mocked to the Texans. And then I seem to remember Seth Payne not being all that excited about Lucas Van Ness getting mocked to the Texans. I think even more poignantly, these soon-to-be second-year defensive backs are all guys. Terrion Arnold seemed like a guy the Texans were trying to move up and go get in the draft. You know, there was rumors of them trying to move back into the first round. And it would seem to Terrion Arnold would be a logical guy for them to allow. Alabama guy.
Yeah.
Real good guy off the field. They ended up drafting a corner anyways, 19 picks later or whatever.
Right.
But Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock have already surpassed these guys. That's why they're not on here. That's what I'm sticking to right
now. I like your story. I like that you've got your story and that you're sticking to it. I respect it, but I don't think that this is the case.
You think there's disrespect going on here?
I think that there is definitely disrespect. So I'll say this. I think that there's disrespect.
Yeah.
I think. I know for a fact, because I've been around them just enough to know this, that Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock are going to look at it as disrespect.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're talking about the same age group. And you also got to remember, and this was a little bit of a theme during OTAs and minicamp when we were able to talk to these guys, but these guys felt disrespected in their rookie year. I forget which list they were, but these guys were left off of some key list either done by the media or official list that did not include Kamari Lassiter or Kalen Bullock, and it was something that they talked about quite a bit at OTAs and minicamp, or at least were asked about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the sense that not only were they trying to come into year two different players, better versions of themselves for their own reasons, but also to quiet doubters or to show people that are sleeping on them what they're actually capable of. These are guys that feel like they have been overlooked over the last year. And I don't view this as some sort of acknowledgement that they're not, that all of a sudden, hey, that they've arrived. I think that this is kind of more along the lines of what we've already seen. And I can tell you for sure that Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock are going to, internalize it in positive ways.
Yeah, see, I maybe I'm being too rosy a Texans fan looking at this
thing. I'm not sleeping on them. You're not sleeping on them. But I absolutely think that this list is sleeping on them and that those guys think that they're being slept
on. If you don't think Kamari Lassiter has broken out yet, I don't know how he doesn't wind up on a list like this. There are numbers out there to back it up. Like, he and Stingley are side by side on some of the passer rating. I'm not trying to sell you on
it. No, I'm with you.
You got your hands up. You're with me on this one. Like, are they passer rating allowed, completion percentage allowed? It's like Stingley and Lassiter are right there next to each other on all this
stuff. And you're so right about it, which is why I think they're why their jaws are dropped by this. Because they're like, hey, what do we have to do to kind of prove ourselves as like these budding stars, if you will? And it wasn't there. I think that it's not that they haven't broken out. It's just for whatever reason, they've been overlooked. I think the Stingley thing kind of overshadows it a little bit. And I know the guys in the afternoon have talked about this, like, God forbid anything happens to Stingley, but that would give you an opportunity to learn, you know, how good is Kamari Lassiter really if that ever happened? Now, God forbid we ever have to even be faced with that.
Yeah.
But I think that that's part of it, is like, because Stingley is taking so much attention and he kind of had the breakout year last year, having his first, you know, mostly healthy and all pro season, that it's been real easy to overlook the second round rookie whose 40 time is less than ideal, who's not having to go up against the very best guy. But everything that you say about Kamari Lassiter is correct. He absolutely should be on this list.
Yeah, yeah. Man, my Texans color glasses maybe are getting me on that one. Now, Kalen Bullock's interesting because we just went through that exercise with ESPN where they do the top 10 at each position. You know, they have the executives, coaches, and scouts voting on it. They put in their top 10 and they tabulate all the votes and they spit out, here's the top 10, here's honorable mention. I know you saw these lists, B. Scott. I was a little surprised Kalen Bullock made honorable mention. Like, Kalen Bullock is getting some love from different corners of the universe right now around the NFL.
I mean, dude had 5 interceptions, right?
Yeah.
And did not play full time.
Yeah.
Like, was not the full time, always starter, and was out there making plays.
Right.
You want to talk about efficient? We were talking earlier about how Lance McCullers hasn't been efficient pitching. Kalen Bullock, the antithesis of that. Hella efficient safety out there with 5 interceptions and not being the full-time starter.
Yeah, and like a lot of these arguments that are totally subjective, it winds up being something where you're just arguing over the definition of a word or a phrase, like in this case, breakout.
Right.
But my thing is, like, okay, whatever your definition of that is, if you feel like Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock have not broken out yet, then you are stupid to not put them on your list going into this season. Because I think they're both going to benefit greatly from C.J. Gardner-Johnson being in that secondary, especially Kalen Bullock back there.
And I'm not trying to argue against myself or you here, but I do want to just play a little devil's advocate of how much does that work against them? Speaking to my earlier point about Derek Stingley Jr., like, are they being slept on because there is a more veteran and better or more talented player at even their own position on their team?
A big personality, too. That factors in sometimes.
You know, in Bullock's case, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and then, of course, with Lassiter, he's playing on the other side of an all-pro. Yep. Like, I wonder, as much as those guys are going to help them in their game and their productivity, how much does that hurt their argument or at least the outlook on them from the outside?
If I were to open up this all-breakout thing here, we're going to do Acknowledge Me, by the way, in about 5 or 10 minutes, in case you're tuning in on a Monday here. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. If I had to pick one Texan that I think fits what this list should be, like, I wouldn't, like, I Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock, okay, if you think they haven't been a breakout player yet, they should definitely be on here. If you think that they're not on here because they've already surpassed that, they broke out as rookies, then I think Cade Stover would be an interesting one to put on here. Cade Stover, who's playing at a position for the Texans where, look, if Dalton Schultz doesn't revert back into being Dalton Schultz from 2 years ago, there's definitely going to be some snaps available. I think already Cade Stover is the number two guy in a traditional tight end sense. Brevin Jordan is sort of this anomaly that, you know, like, he's more of a H-back pass catcher type.
Yeah, he's like the Jalen Petrie of the offense. Like, whatever position he is, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but he's going to be out there doing something.
They drafted Luke Lachey, but he's a 7th-round pick. Like, there's a real opportunity for Cade Stover here to take half the tight end position, or certainly formations where they're in 2 tight end and 3 tight end personnel, and be out there quite a bit for this team this year. And he's another one that's flashed nicely in the early part of the offseason phase.
Yeah, so flash nicely in the early part of the offseason. And we can remember this time last year how high they were on Cade Stover. Like he was, before we were even talking about Camp Darlings, just after he was drafted, his work ethic and his background and all that were things that people were really high on. I don't think he would necessarily be my candidate, but I will say this. He's an ideal candidate for the Texans. Like if he, the what if factor, right? Like if he does have that breakout season, I think that is a tremendous coup for the Texans.
Yeah.
Right. Like they could use more productivity from that position, whether it's Dalton Schultz or Brevin Jordan or Cade Stover, whoever it is. I think that position for the Texans could stand to be a lot more productive. They could also stand to like use them better. And I think Nick Haley will be a huge part of that. But if you get a breakout season from Cade Stover, that to me changes the dynamic of what this offense could potentially look like.
Well, and just the sheer math of it too. I mean, look, we're about to live in a world where they're going to be paying $60 million to a quarterback.
Yeah.
And whatever Will Anderson Jr. is going to be making. And it's a core that's going to start to get more expensive here. You're going to need things like a fourth round tight end on the last 2-3 years of his rookie deal.
Yep.
Doing some things for you. You're not going to be able to afford to have Dalton Schultz taking up $12 million and being a lesser player than he was in that one prove-it year that he had in 2023. The math is not going to allow you to have those things and be a good football team moving forward.
Even now, as they are a good football team and the math, relatively speaking, is on their side, mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, Sean, it's not a good feeling to have the tight end be the second or third highest paid player on the team.
No.
And the tight end position not being anywhere close to like the second or third best position group on even the offense, much less the team. So, yeah, I mean, it's not economical enough for me right now as the story is good. So when it gets a little tougher and this bill comes due that you're talking about, you're definitely going to need that.
Text message. Our guys have already broken out. That's why they're not on the list. That was my initial gut reaction. But
I think you
injected a bit of like outside of Houston rationale into it. I think it's perfectly conceivable.
Yeah.
That somebody at the NFL Network would have said, nah, I'm going to put Terry and Arnold in here, Nate Wiggins, they're first-round picks.
Yeah, and I'm not going to put in the second-round pick who's got a bad 40 time and plays with an all-pro.
Yeah.
Like, I think that more than anything, those guys, more than anything, are internalizing this, and that works in Texans fans' favor. Like, I get the sense, Kamari Lassiter specifically, that they operate, I don't think they need the chip on the shoulder.
No.
But you put that battery in the back and it does something for them. Well, so I think that a motivated and a chagrined Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock is going to be good for Texans.
They wouldn't trade Kamari Lassiter for either of those guys.
No.
Wiggins or Terry and Arnold.
Not at all.
The Texans would not do that. Do you have a name you'd throw in the mix on there?
So I wasn't sure if this one counted because it could be viewed as a comeback. It depends on where you had this player to begin with before last season sort of derailed them.
I know who you're going to say, and he probably would have been on this list. Maybe was on this list last year.
Yeah, Christian Harris has to be a breakout candidate, and that, again, is dependent on if you already considered whatever he's done already in the NFL to have been a breakout, and I don't. I think he was on his way to breaking out, and then injury derailed his season last year. So if you want to split hairs on whether this season is a comeback season for Christian Harris or a breakout season, I think you could go either way. I'll go breakout because I don't think he ever got fully to the point of where he was going to get.
So, I'd be nervous about putting him on any list that involves getting on the football field right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's
like
fair.
If my job depended on me being right about this.
Yeah.
And I was doing the all breakout team. Thankfully, we live in a world where we don't have to be right really ever when it comes to our opinions. But if we did live in that world and I needed to be right and all the maximum number of the 11 players on defense, I needed the maximum to fit the definition of having broken out this year.
Yeah.
I would be real nervous to put Christian Harris on there. Not because I don't think he's talented, but because his medicals have been a mystery. And let's keep in mind, like his rookie year, he missed all of training camp his rookie year.
Yeah.
Like, this has been, you know, people talk about Nico Collins.
That's why he got off to such a slow start to his career.
Yeah. And then the scheme changes and D'Amico comes in. I mean, Christian Harris has really only been a good football player for this team for about 10 games.
About a 10-week stretch, yeah.
For about 10 games. It started like it started around that Tampa Bay, Cincinnati double dip in the middle of the 2023 season is when he really started to, it started to click. And then he was great the rest of that year, and he was outstanding in the postseason. And then he doesn't play. I mean, you know, he played what? He played 80% of the snaps against the Dolphins and then was on the bench for the rest of the season after that. And he missed the first 14 weeks. So I'm nervous about putting him anywhere near a list that involves him actually playing American football this year.
Well, I'll be real with you, Sean. I'm not making this pick with my wallet. I'm making it with my heart.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
And partly my head. Like, yeah.
He's a talented football player. Yeah.
Logic is telling me this is a talented football player playing for a head coach who is the defensive coordinator, who is kind of the de facto defensive coordinator, defensive play caller, and is a former All-Pro linebacker himself.
Yep.
So, like, to me, logic would dictate if you can get him on the field, he should be a breakout candidate. Of course, all of the issues that come up about the medicals are there and are very real. It is why I would not make this bet with my wallet, but will make it with my heart.
There you go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's do some acknowledgments here. 713-572-4610. If you want to weigh in on the acknowledgement, we got a lot of people weighing in with acknowledge me's that are already on the list. So fear not. We will acknowledge the big performances from the weekend. really from over the last week or so. We acknowledge every Monday at 7:20, we acknowledge the big performances. I will say a name, and Ben Gary, our producer, will hotkey us with Roman Reigns, who, by the way, I'm going to acknowledge the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who will be at Toyota Center tonight for Monday Night Raw. They sold like several thousand more tickets after it was announced he was going to be part of the festivities. Guessing he's not wrestling. He wrestles like four times a year. Yeah. He's got one of those great gigs, man, where you get paid millions of dollars just to show up for Monday Night Raw and cut a promo on somebody and you're good to go.
Hey, how perfect is the timing of this for Nick Caserio? If he wants to go and be, I'm not saying that he does. I don't know. But if he does, this is the perfect time and right before things really ramp up. Now, they might have already ramped up for him because he's behind the scenes, the GM and all of that. But like right before you had to go out there and talk to our ugly asses and get ready for training camp.
Well,
you get Raw right here in town.
We have a media event tonight with the Texans.
That's right.
We have the media. They do a thing like a season kickoff with the media.
That's right. Does he choose us?
He's been to it before. He and D'Amico. I don't know if they go every year, but I remember at least one year where it might have been D'Amico's first year that I remember. Like, they were there to kind of speak to the media, the two of them, you know, and it was fun. And they stuck around and hung out for a little bit.
I remember.
But
Raw wasn't here that night.
Raw wasn't here that night.
At least not to my recall.
And Nick has become friends with Triple H in the last several months. They were at the Sloan Analytics conference together. And backstage, Nick got to hang out with Triple H.
Things then changed over the last couple of years.
So now he's close personal friend Triple H to Nick Caserio. Yeah, so it's not just that Raw is in town. He might be getting access.
Yeah. Bowling with B. Scott or hanging with Triple H at Raw? Like, I don't want to.
Dead heat for me, B. Scott.
I don't want to shortchange myself, but I think I know what Nick Caserio would pick and even what I would probably pick, if I'm being honest with you.
We'll see. I hope to see him tonight at the media event. That'll be fun. Either way, we'll see him out of training camp in a couple of days. All right, let's do these acknowledgments. Taylor Trammell. Big performance from Taylor Trammell. Three hits yesterday, including a home run against his former team. An underrated defensive play in the field as well.
Yes.
On that relay throw to Mauricio Dubon to cut down. It's escaping me who they cut down at home plate.
The dude whose foot came up off of home plate.
Skip hopped over home plate, yeah.
We took more note of his foot than we did him.
Yes.
And whoever the hell he
was.
Yeah,
it was the only important part of his body at that particular juncture.
Yes.
But just an absolute dime of a defensive play out there by Taylor Trammell. That was good to see yesterday, man. Taylor Trammell, huge day against his old team on what was a big day for the Astros. I'm going to give the Astros, Ben, an overall acknowledgement. It's a gutty win. 11-3 doesn't look like a gutty win. It looks like just some win where the other team didn't have its A game that day. You know, just you beat up on them. You know, Mama said there'll be days like this.
Yeah.
No, they were down 3-0, the Astros, and they looked dead in the fourth inning, and Hunter Brown was out of the game. And they beat up on Brian Wu, an all-star for the Mariners, and beat up on him good with a lineup that was literally a majority of guys that would not normally be starting for the Astros. Not even on a Sunday where you normally have guys like that in the lineup.
So Taylor Trammell used to be in the Mariners organization, talked after the game about having a chip on his shoulder going up against his former team.
Yep.
I wish we could go up against his former team all the time if he's going to play like that.
Me too.
Man, let's find a way. Let's get all the chips we can find and put them on his shoulder every time we can go out there, man.
Amen.
Because if that's what he plays like when he feels like he's got something to prove, then I'll take it.
Find something. Leave him off the all-breakout team.
There you go.
That's the biggest disrespect you can have. Scottie Scheffler.
Ah.
Got to acknowledge this, man. Wins his fourth major. Only has the U.S. Open left to win the career Grand Slam.
Right.
He's won the other three. He won the British Open this weekend in pretty resounding fashion. He finished 17 under. He's only the fourth player in British Open, or the Open Championship, if you're yelling at me in your car right now about calling it the right thing. Always be the British Open to me. Fourth player in history to shoot 68 or less all four rounds.
Yeah.
So he was dominant the entire weekend. They never really got close to him on Sunday. He is doing some Tiger Woods type things right now. Not for the duration that Tiger was doing it when Tiger was at peak Tiger. I mean, Tiger's double digit majors.
Yeah.
You know? But he is Scottie Scheffler could be on his way. Third golfer to win multiple majors in the same year by four or more strokes. So the third golfer to really dominate two majors in the same golf year. Ben Hogan, Tiger Woods, the only other two. First player to win his first. I was a little surprised by this, that this wasn't Tiger, because Tiger, when he would win, he would run away from the field. But Scottie Scheffler, first player to win his first four majors by three or more shots.
Yeah.
So he's won them, and he's not really had to sweat it on the back nine, on the last day.
Yeah. I just want to kick my soapbox real quick on the Open Championship. Please always call it the British Open. Because if you don't specify that it's the British Open and you just call it the Open, I'm going to assume it's the U.S.
That's right.
Because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And so, right. You know what I mean?
We're ugly Americans, man.
So like, if you just call it the Open, I'm going to assume that it's the U.S. And that could just be my American bias. But if it's the British Open, please say that.
Yeah.
So I can be reminded that we're talking about some other place.
Yeah, think of us.
So that's one soapbox. But then to the point about this Scheffler thing. Like, we've been waiting for, like, the post-Tiger dominance era. Yeah. There have been a lot of really good golfers. And I think it's been good for the game that you got a lot of guys that are intriguing to watch. We haven't had a dominant guy yet until now.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, he's not done it for the duration, like you mentioned, has not done it for the duration that that Tiger had done it. But it is really cool to see somebody else dominating the sport again.
Yeah.
Like he made this tournament less interesting, like this particular tournament less interesting. And apparently that's just what he does when he wins one. But it is pretty cool to see somebody at the top of the sport right now.
I'm when I mix Tiger Woods' name into this whole thing, I'm not doing it to compare Scottie Scheffler early to Tiger Woods early. Tiger was a phenom. Tiger was a movement. Tiger was a culture. Tiger was, he carried the sport on his shoulders.
No doubt.
And drew huge numbers. Nike numbers, TV numbers, people taking up the game of golf.
Scheffler can be as dominant as he wants. He can be as dominant as he wants, and he won't be that.
And there's an ethnicity and racial element to the Tiger thing that there never will be to the Scottie Scheffler story. That said, I do think if Scheffler, and we're years away from this, I mean, unless he just steamrolls the field in the next two or three years, if he gets to double-digit majors, his golf tournaments become must-watch because they now involve Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger may not be playing anymore, but chasing Tiger, and then you've really got two benchmarks because, you know, unless Tiger goes to some other planet and becomes a robot and gets all healthy again, there'll be Tiger's number and there'll be Jack Nicklaus's number.
The thing that Tiger was doing until things got derailed.
Yeah.
And so like you said, unless they make an AI Tiger or something like that, it's not happening.
It's not happening. So, but acknowledge the dominance, man. The last 11 tournaments, not just majors, but tournaments where Scottie Scheffler has led after the third day, after 54 holes, he's won them all.
Yeah.
He's won them all.
Yeah.
He's like Josh Hader was earlier in the year.
Dude is dominating right now. It is impressive to watch. Like, I sit there and watch, and I just kind of get upset because I'm like, man, I'll never, ever be able to do anything like that on a golf course. And it's like, how do you dominate the dominant? Like, because these guys are one percenters out there. Yeah. Like, just the fact that they're even out there doing what they're doing. And to dominate golf to me is as impressive as it gets.
Well, he did an interview last week, Scottie Scheffler, where I'm totally paraphrasing here. He was talking about how, you know, like the winning, he doesn't even get to enjoy the winning because he's like, he's very much an on to the next kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's very much a celebrate for 24 hours and on to the next. So he sounded miserable when he gave the interview. He made winning sound miserable. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Brian Baldinger and Chris Long. I want to acknowledge them for acknowledging the Texans defensive line, who I will also acknowledge. Texans defensive line, because they're awesome. This is Brian Baldinger on Chris Long's Greenlight Podcast. Brian Baldinger, former offensive lineman in the NFL, works for the NFL Network. Chris Long, former defensive lineman for the Eagles, has his own podcast, which is one of the better ones out there. They were going through the best defensive lines in the sport. They named the Broncos. They named the Eagles. They have the Giants in there, you know, having drafted Abdul Carter, and they've got some good guys there.
Did they save the best for last?
The Rams. I don't know if they weren't doing it power ranking style where there was like a number next to each of them.
I'm asking you, did they save the best for last?
I think they did.
All right.
I think they did. Sounds like you saw the same video that I did.
Yeah.
They mentioned the Rams. And then last but not least, the Houston Texans.
Okay, the other team we got to mention, 1, 2, 3, Houston Texans.
No question. I mean, what Will Anderson is doing in this business, I mean, he's off to a great start. This is effort. Way he smokes the corner right now.
Yeah.
And then to have, you know, Danielle Hunter is been one of the great pass rushers in this business for a long time. There's just not many guys with that kind of length.
Yeah.
With the variety of moves that he has and kind of how awkward he is at times and how you have to like really be patient on a guy like that. And then inside, you know, whether it's, you know, Settle comes on board right now. Sheldon Rankins has had good days. Mario Edwards. I mean, they've got a number of guys. Danico Autry has been a great pass rusher in this league for a decade, wherever he goes. And so
I love Autry.
Autry is a long arm guy, inside, outside. He crushes the pocket wherever, and he's so versatile. So, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, when you look at the Houston Texans, and one of the reasons why D'Amico Ryans has been really good is, you know, is that defensive line.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know that somebody knows what they're talking about with the Texans defensive line when they start gushing over D'Amico Autry.
Yes.
Because a hidden gem and somewhat of a deep cut for the Texans defensive line. Once you start giving D'Amico Autry his flowers like that, I know that you're really paying attention.
I think they're counting on D'Amico Autry to be a real nice compliment to Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson this year. And you know why I think that? Because I think if they didn't think he had that in him, I think he would have been cut.
Yeah.
I think he would have been there were cap savings to be had by letting D'Amico Autry go. And they didn't take advantage. And they did with other stuff too. They did some things to they had to do some gymnastics with the cap this year for the first time under Caserio in a while. That's an under-the-radar one that I'd never think of where I'm like, oh, no, presumably no PED suspension coming up for D'Amico Autry this season like he had last year.
Right.
He's going to be actually practicing. You know, he was working out off to the side, it felt like, all of training camp last year because they had to get other guys ready to play.
Yeah.
He did some things during the season last year. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why they signed him right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for D'Amico Autry.
Well, and I've been on this, and I feel like all of us who really are in the thick of this should have, because D'Amico Autry has pretty much just been in the division for all this time, and he's a nightmare whenever he played for the Colts and for the Titans. Like, I remember not liking going against him.
Yep.
So I was really happy when they got him, and really intrigued to see what he does in year two.
I am too. Appreciate the plaudits from Baldinger and Chris Long on the Texans defensive line. All right, we got to make sure we get this one in because it is flooding the text page. And don't worry, it was on the list, saved it for a little later. The Texas Fury girls high school flag football champion team representing your Houston Texans. First, we will acknowledge. Then we will let the girls give a little shout out to themselves here.
Texas Fury just won the national championship representing the Houston Texans. Yeah! All
right, that's, you know what? The one person I'm very anxious to see out of training camp, Hannah McNair.
Yeah.
Because she and the Texans have been heavily involved with this girls flag football movement. And I bet she was over the moon yesterday that the Texas Fury Texans beat the Bad Rabbits Cowboys in the championship game. They smoked them 19-0. Texans beat the Cowboys yesterday, basically, is what happened.
Texans beat the Cowboys.
They won the Super Bowl.
And I was going to say, not only beat the Cowboys, but won a championship.
That's right.
Like, how cool is it to be going into training camp already knowing that the Texans have a title?
That's great.
Like,
it's going to be our year, man.
2 days before we touch grass,
yeah,
we already know that the Texans are champions. Let's go. And Hannah McNair, I do want to point out, loves football more than I think people realize.
Oh, yeah.
Like not just the actual
knows
Texans,
football, man. Yeah.
But this girl, the girls' flag football team, the little league that their kids are a part of. Like, she's really knee-deep into the football stuff. Like, yeah. I don't think people realize it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's do some individual acknowledgments right here. Quarterback Emery Beckett took home MVP honors. So I like to make sure we can acknowledge an individual there.
Yeah, so no wonder they're a champion. They got a QB.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, they found out once you get a franchise quarterback, you can dominate girls flag football. I
you
love that.
Don't
this,
say.
That is great. I actually watched a little of it. It was on ABC and ESPN yesterday.
Yeah, why not?
I'm not going to acknowledge the boys champions because it was the Jacksonville Jaguars representative.
So it didn't happen.
No.
Basically.
Probably, if I know the magnificent Gladstone, he's probably taking credit for it right now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Change the world as we speak.
Of course.
Jacksonville Jaguars elite. That's what they're called. The Jags elite.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Yep. Nope.
We will not acknowledge you.
Text message, Sean, I don't know that you can watch WWE right now. It's nothing like the Attitude Era. That's from Houston. A caller named, or a listener named, Houston. I watch it now. I know it's very different, but I still enjoy it. I watch it. No, nothing will ever be the Attitude Era again, but I, you know, That's what it is.
If you're longing for the 90s, then life is going to be insufferable for you going forward because we ain't going back, unfortunately.
Yeah. Irwin says, proof that B. Scott is articulate AF. He used the word antithesis in full stride. That's from 18 minutes ago.
I don't even remember it.
Well, that's how good you are. You don't even remember just dropping antithesis.
My bad. I don't.
Is antithesis a word that sets the barometer for
how
articulate you are?
I'm wearing a Sam Houston State shirt. What are y'all talking about, guys? I'm just a dude. Man, nothing against Sam Houston State. Go up there to Huntsville. You'll see just a bunch of regular folks.
That's right, man. You know? Beautiful country up there. All right. That is acknowledge me. We acknowledge the big performances from the weekend. All right, I say performance from the weekend. Why y'all got to be so petty? It's not the petty cast day, but the pettiness in one corner of the sports world is mind-boggling to me. And also, a lot of people thought Dave Portnoy was being brought in to Fox to counter-program Pat McAfee on game day. They got the wrong ESPN guy that he's counter-programming. B. Scott and I will talk about that coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart. So that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, so the WNBA had their All-Star game this weekend. No Caitlin Clark. She's dealing with a groin injury right now, but she was there. It was in Indiana, and it looked like they had a pretty good crowd there. And the players made news because they all wore T-shirts before the game. It said, pay us what you owe us. That was their message to ownership in the WNBA. That October is sort of that's if you're a WNBA fan, that's the time frame to be looking at where they could opt out of their current CBA.
Yep.
And they're going to get more money. They've got a bigger TV deal now. We can talk about Caitlin Clark and the Caitlin Clark effect and all those things. And they never made any money until she got there, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is that media companies are spending more to carry their games, and their games are drawing more eyeballs for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Any number of reasons. I think Caitlin Clark, the number one reason.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is helpful that all of this was happening at the same time that the WNBA was ascending as Caitlin Clark came about. And
yes.
Then she just kind of put it on a skyrocket.
She strapped a rocket to it. Yeah.
Because she's definitely the number one reason. But they were trending upward as she was coming along at the same time.
No doubt. Now, yet, some of these players who've been around for a while cannot resist taking shots, either physical or verbal, at Caitlin Clark. This was Kelsey Plum sitting next to Sabrina Ionescu at the, it looked to be a post-game press conference. I don't know if it was pre-game or post-game, but they were talking about the T-shirts.
Yeah.
It had to be post-game because they wore the T-shirts in the pre-game.
Yeah, all-star game media availability.
Pay us what you owe us. And we'll get into whether, you know, pay us what you owe us and wearing T-shirts is a statement that this particular group of labor should be saying to management. You know, like that's a separate argument. But Kelsey Plum just couldn't resist saying that the T-shirts weren't really part of it. Caitlin Clark wasn't really part of the T-shirt thing.
That was a very powerful moment. We didn't, at least as players, we didn't know that was going to happen. So I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise. But the T-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning. That we had a meeting for, and you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But no, we were just we had a very
that really needed to be mentioned.
No, I'm trying to make a situation light, okay?
Oh, is that what you're doing? You're just trying to make a situation light.
That's definitely what it did. It made the situation light.
Yeah. Yeah, Sabrina Ionescu looked like she wanted to crawl into a hole when Kelsey Plum said that. Why? Like, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not a big WNBA guy. Like, I just, when I observe and I see stupidity and a lack of self-awareness, and I'm not saying that Kelsey Plum is a stupid person. I'm saying that type of stuff is stupid.
Yeah, that comment in and of itself.
It's counterintuitive. The only reason that you guys, the main reason that you women can sit down at a bargaining table with a straight face and ask for whatever raise it is you're going to be asking for, the biggest reason is Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
She is the biggest boat that is raising the tide for all of you right now. And for whatever reason, that is petty.
Yeah.
That is, you know what, it was a powerful moment and it was a powerful movement. And we were a united front. Oh, except for Caitlin Clark. She wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like,
so I agree with you. But I think where I differ is that I do kind of like it. Like, everything you're saying is true.
Yeah.
They should probably be more, they should be competitive, obviously, with Caitlin Clark. They shouldn't just, like, bow at her feet because moneymaker, because they are competing against each other. But I think they should be at least a little bit more mindful and considerate of what's going on here. But I do like whatever this edginess or whatever this kind of beef, if for lack of a better term, is between the old guard, the established WNBA players, and Caitlin Clark just in her second season, whatever resentment that they have for her, it does add a little bit of spice to the WNBA, who, like you, and I love basketball, but I'm not a, you know, necessarily a WNBA guy. It does add a little bit of spice to it because, let's be honest, like, this was uncalled for.
Yeah.
Like, talking this subject matter, the weight of it, the importance of it, whether Caitlin Clark was a part of this meeting or not is beside the point.
Yeah.
Like, you want what you want, whether she comes to the meeting or not. She's entitled to what she's entitled to, whether she comes to the meeting or not. She can wear the shirt, obviously. So, like, it felt unnecessary, but the pettiness did entertain me.
Yeah.
And it does entertain me that there's this riff going on.
Well, it provides content. There's no doubt about that.
Sure.
Look, I'm a WWE fan, so I know all about manufactured animus towards other people. You know, scripts and storylines and heroes and villains and things like that.
I'm not sure this is manufactured, though.
No, and I don't mean manufactured like this is manufactured. I mean, like, I like the hero and villain aspect of things. The physical part of it is the part for me that I'm, like, totally cool with. Like, oh, they want to fight on the court? I've been saying that all along. If Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark want to have this thing going on that'll make me watch Chicago versus Indiana games, cool. This is just a complete lack of self-awareness, and I think you're trying to make her look bad, you know, like that she's not part of this whole thing. I don't know. Kelsey Plum, I can take or leave.
Yeah, but every story, every compelling story, or at least most of them, have a protagonist and an antagonist, and it just depends who that is depends on what side you fall on, but there's definitely one when you got this Clark versus old guard situation going on. I don't really get it, like, why they have to be this way with her, but they are, for whatever reason.
Okay, so she's saying now, we have texters saying that was not directly a Caitlin Clark. She was the team captain for the other team. She was stating the other team wasn't present at the thing. Okay, then that's if that's the case, it does change things a little bit. It wouldn't shock me if she were just trying to drag Caitlin Clark's name into it to say they weren't there and make Caitlin look bad, because that's kind of what the league, that's what some of these veteran players have been trying to do since she got drafted to Indiana. But that's a fair counterpoint. All right, let's get to Dave Portnoy. Hired by Fox to be part of really their overall sports package. Dave Portnoy, founder of Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Barstool is going to have a show on 8 to 10 a.m. reportedly every day, Monday through Friday. The big thing, I think, that impacts my watching, because I don't watch a lot of TV during the day, particularly from 8 to 10 a.m., I'm kind of busy, would be that they're adding Dave Portnoy to Big Noon Saturday,
right,
which is Fox's version of College Game Day. It goes right up against College Game Day on Fox, typically covering the Big Ten. ESPN is more associated with the SEC.
Yeah.
The headlines last week when they hired Portnoy for this role, B. Scott, was that this is Fox's answer to Pat McAfee being added to the Game Day last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Which is a logical conclusion.
It is, in so much as they're both very loud, non-traditional, entrepreneurial, built a huge audience guys.
Yeah.
I contend that McAfee, in terms of how he likes to be portrayed, very different than Portnoy. Portnoy does not mind being the bad guy at all.
Yeah.
McAfee, I think, likes being liked. I think that's a very different dynamic.
But both very online.
Very online.
It's bringing the internet to your broadcast.
And I think I think that's a valid point. I do think from a content standpoint, it does sound like Portnoy is more of a counter, for Game Day at least, to Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum, who is viewed as an SEC homer, thinks Arch Manning is going to be the greatest quarterback that ever lived, you know, has a radio show down in Alabama where Auburn and Alabama fans square off on the phones all the time with you. He is an SEC guy, Paul Feinbaum. And I think by proxy, ESPN is viewed as the SEC network. I know there's an SEC network, but you know what I mean. They're like the SEC card carrying.
Yeah,
you know, like
I think for
banner,
both reasons, yeah.
Banner carrying.
Because of Feinbaum and because they have the SEC network, I think.
Reportedly, Portnoy is being brought in, according to Awful Announcing had this article, that the reports are he's being brought in to specifically be a fanboy for the Big Ten to counter-program Feinbaum, because as it's structured right now, it's a campaign to get into the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, the conferences don't have a fixed number of spots, and apparently there's a feeling within either Fox or the Big Ten or both that some of the campaigning that gets done on behalf of the SEC on ESPN factors in. Now, I will point, Alabama didn't make the playoff last year.
Right.
And Indiana did make the playoff last year.
So,
but they want him to be a fanboy.
How about that?
What kind of Dave Portnoy do you want on your Fox Noon Saturday, B. Scott?
So, I mean, tell what I want. I know what kind of Dave Portnoy we're going to get. If you are familiar with the dude, like, he is, whether you like him or not, he is going to be consistently himself. And I don't think he's going to change. And you don't bring in a guy like that to change him. Like, the whole point of bringing him in is to bring that personality and that energy in. So I expect him to be exactly who and what Dave Portnoy is and has been. I just think it's, like, I don't know how much money exactly Dave Portnoy is getting paid by Fox to come over there, but I just think it's hilarious how something so expensive is going to feel so cheap. I just mean from the standpoint of, I'm not speaking to the quality of what the work or the show will be. I have no idea. But just from the standpoint of, we want him to be the Paul Feinbaum facsimile.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, we want to have fanboy counter programming.
Yeah.
And we're going to pay what I'm assuming is 8 figures for it. Like, I don't know how much money he's getting. I'm sure it's a lot of money to come over to Fox, you know, both for
probably for the overall package.
For the overall package.
Yeah.
But you can't convince me that this isn't a big part of it, a big piece of it, this exact thing that we're talking about, the SEC counter programming, the Paul Feinbaum SEC fanboy counter programming, to have a Big Ten version of it on Fox. It just feels cheap to me for as expensive as it's going to be.
John Arand is a longtime media reporter. I'll just get this real quick because we're up against it. This is what he wrote. He writes for Puck. John Arand used to be with the Sports Business Journal. Fox executives see a chance to insert a big personality in their lineup and to leverage Portnoy's Michigan fandom, which dovetails perfectly with their Big Ten rights package. After all, ESPN has a high number of profile commentators like Paul Feinbaum who openly advocate for the SEC, especially when it comes to getting teams in the college football playoff. Once again, I will point out, Alabama did not get in last year, and a lot of people thought they should. So, who knows how the committee is getting hit with all this information and opinion that comes out.
But in terms of the influence, like they're talking about, I'll tell you where this is going to be big, on social media and the internet, because that's what Dave Portnoy is. Like they're going to corner that market.
Dana Brown's best decision as general manager is helping the Astros out in a big, big way right now. We will tell you what that is coming up next.